Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, Duncan and Asheville monitoring.
Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf, didn't get your call sign.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, Duncan and Asheville. And I thought a net would still be going on. I chimed in and I just heard snow, and maybe it's because of the snow.
We're no talkers, just check-ins. So, you know, I guess if no one wants to hang around for rag chew, it's a real quick net.
Oh, yeah, 10-4. I try to check into this net twice a week, but tonight I checked into the Waynesville net up here, Waynesville, North Carolina, in Haywood County. And, I was jealous because they had snow and I didn't have snow, but I just looked outside and we're getting snow. How's the weather like down there?
Here 8 years ago from the New York City area. I'm not looking forward to the snow. I hear rain, but I know I'm not going to see any snow.
Well, I guess if you're down in the Piedmont, you might get a lot of rain, maybe a little freezing rain in the morning. Name here is Duncan, and I'm up in Asheville, North Carolina, so we're a little higher elevation, so we're probably going to get the white sticky stuff.
I go to Asheville quite often. I'm in the Greenville, South Carolina area. I'm in Gray Court, which is a little town, one stoplight and a post office, and that's about it.
In times like these, that's a place to be right there. I'm longing for the day I could move into the county, into the country time. But, hopefully you just get rain, but I'm kind of looking forward to snow. The past 2 or 3 years, it's just been meh winters, and we had a white Christmas, and now we're getting a big snow. So half of me is kind of excited.
Shoveling the crap. Although I was in the Long Island area, you know, go upstate New York, you'll get a lot of snow to the point where you can't get out of your house. Oh, there's 5 feet of snow. I got to dig my way out. Yeah, that's not so much for me anymore.
Actually, on my handy talkie, I have the NOAA radio station, and they actually had a warning. If you haven't shoveled snow so much, go easy because it can cause heart attacks or asthma reactions. And, after last year, I'm kind of hoping for that. Yeah, let's just bring that sudden heart attack on. Only kidding. I only shovel snow in moderation.
I'm sure, let's see, I'm 57 now. I'm not even sure I could do it 10 years ago. The couple of times I tried, okay, I did this for 10 minutes, that's enough. Get one of the neighborhood kids, here's $10, do the snow.
I don't see many of those kids coming around with shovels and offering to shovel the parking lot. Otherwise, I'd hire them. We have a little business, and I'm the snow shoveling guy. But I'm just thinking I'm just going to close for the next 2 days. Screw it. It's that type of year.
One of your businesses is snow removal?
No, it's a clothing business. We have to shovel. We have to hire someone to shovel snow if it gets really deep. Otherwise, I'm doing it. It's not a big parking lot. It's like 7 spots, but man, that is a lot of square foot to shovel snow at 50 years old.
Get a snowblower, or, I could do it then when I was not in such terrible shape, and I really, really wouldn't want to try to do it now. Not with the asthma and the other problems.
Well, I'm at the point now where I'll just call my insurance company and just pay that extra premium and then just not shovel it. Just watch them slip and fall trying to get into the building.
At a certain age, you say to yourself, yeah, I got people for that. the time of me going out and doing a lot of things myself. I was walking out the grocery store 100 feet to the car, and I got all out of breath. I had to use my asthma inhaler. Now, carrying a bunch of, couple of bags of groceries, how bad did that be?
Well, I can relate to that. I've been an asthmatic ever since junior high. And I started smoking cigarettes in high school and all the way through college. And well after college, I was a crazy chain smoker. And not only did I smoke cigarettes, I dipped Copenhagen. I was just a nicotine fool. But then I had double pneumonia at about the age 36, 37. And I about died. And then I had like a relapse two weeks later. And so I quit smoking. And then ever since I did that, I feel like I got a new lease on life. And I'm glad that's behind me for sure.
According to your timeline, I think that was more than 10 years ago. So your lungs might have recovered almost to the point where they should be.
Well, I mean, if I'm judging by the way I feel, yeah, I feel like I gained two decades of my life. Yeah, who knows what damage I've done, what underlying things are still there, but just my day-to-day is way better than it was.
It's always, you know, pour me a vodka tonic and I'll have a smoke. I wasn't a regular smoker, so it was easy for me to just say, you know what, let's not bother. So I haven't really smoked anything at all in 10 years. But, yeah, you can develop a serious addiction.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I'm living proof. I could totally go back to it. But I just know that that would be, it would just shorten my life, you know. You get to that age, like, I think you mentioned you're older than I am, and I'm 50. It's like, choosing to go back to smoking cigarettes, that would, unless I'm trying to kill myself, that is not an option. But I still have really unhealthy habits that I need to change, but that was a huge thorn in my side. I'm so glad I got that out.
57. What, already? Gee, time goes by. You know what's funny, though? Smoke is bad, but nicotine actually has some good pharmacologically beneficial effects. I've actually started to chew nicotine gum once in a while because nicotine is a stimulant. It actually makes you more aware and more, you know, it actually improves your brain functioning a little bit. It's a little bit of an antidepressant. It's a appetite suppressant. If you're like me and you've got bowel trouble, it's an anticholinergic. You know, it does a lot of things.
Well, I'm a step ahead of you because the day I quit smoking, I started vaping. And, yeah, I'm vaping right now and I have no lung issues. And that's why I got off cigarettes. Zero lung issues, no matter what they say about popcorn lung or whatever. I've been doing this 3 years. I'm hiking mountains. But yeah, I don't know. I can't vouch for the fact that there's health benefits on nicotine, but it sure improves my disposition in life.
Chris, you know, the same thing with caffeine. You know, nicotine, you know, as I said, the delivery system sucks. Nicotine gets a bad rap because it's associated with smoke. But if you have some other way to take it, it's actually not bad. You know, it does stimulate the central nervous system. It gives you a little bit of a boost during the day. You know, when I was doing engineering and I was coming up with a problem you couldn't solve, you need a cafeteen break. What's that? Have a cup of coffee, go out on the landing and on the porch and smoke half a cigarette. And sure enough, that would work. The brain cells would start moving and sometimes I'd, you know, see a solution to the problem.
Yeah, Yeah, that's funny. I'm really bad at remembering who did quotes, but I don't know if it was Winston Churchill or the guy that Ernest Hemingway. But they said that when they smoked a cigar on the balcony, it was a wise moment. Just let them reflect and gather their thoughts and, you know, and arm yourself for when you get back into your work. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard.
Churchill would start the morning with a pint of beer. Then he'd go on and drink whiskey in the afternoon. And he always smoked those fat cigars. Ernest Hemingway, I think, took it a little bit too far. You know, he's the sort of would go to a bar and shut the place down. Didn't he die of alcoholism? No, wait, he died of suicide.
But I'm going to say you're right, and but that just puts a smile on my face, even if those accounts of the stories are both correct. But yeah, you know, I digress. Nicotine's good, caffeine's good, and a good winter snowstorm every once in a while is good too.
Except that it one day might actually even be legal. THC has medical benefits. Again, it's an antidepressant. It used to get rid of a lot of my little achy joint pains and various other pains. So when you get older, you know, smoke a blunt once in a while. Of course, I can't do that now. And I'm sure in most places it's still not legal.
I can 100% agree with you that there are medical benefits to that. I'm not testament to that, but I know some friends that have used THC and CBD, and some people argue if you need those both combined together for them to be effective for certain things, and I think it's a thing, it's a real thing, but yeah, I mean, I'm 50, and I went to college and all that stuff, and I smoked weed, but I tell you, man, I can't smoke that anymore. I can barely do CBD. That stuff just gets my heart racing like a lab rat. But I think it's essential, and I think it should be legal. And then you know, buyer beware. But know what you're getting into. But there's something to it, and I think it does have medicinal properties for sure. KO4JKB.
Well, actually, part of the problem is that, in a sense, the stuff has gotten too good. The stuff we used to smoke in high school, you'd have to smoke an entire joint or two, or maybe more. Now it's just take two puffs and you're already, okay, it's time to go lie down. So, if anything, it's gotten, it's almost become too strong. Or maybe maybe we're too old, I don't know.
No, we're not too old, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think once they started doing the GMO Monsanto strains that just makes you, you know, feel like you did a bunch of bath salts type of weed, yeah, that's bad, but some people, you know, some people like it, but yeah, I can't do that. It's just, I just, like I said, you know, it gets me paranoid. It would probably maybe have a heart attack immediately.
Anything's added, or if they've just cultivated to raise the THC content. But yeah, I remember smoking that stuff in high school, and maybe again within the past 10 years. And I remember thinking, I've either gotten way too old or the stuff's gotten way more potent. It depends how you grow it. I'm sure if those magazines like High Times are still around, we'll show you how to grow it.
I think where the problem lies is, you know, I'm no doctor, no scientist, no botanist, but back in when I went to high school, which was 1989, 1988, you know, you got weed from Mexico, and it's just brown, and you smoked it. It was just a plant. You grew out of, you know, special chemicals, and it was just what it was. It was just like picking oregano up and smoking it. But now, it's just so, nurtured in a certain way where let me let this break for a second, and I'll continue on. The thing that makes a good balance, from what I read, is that the THC and the CBD need to be evened out. So these new strains of flower are just all THC. They take all the CBD out of it, so it's all psychotic drugs in there, and it just drives people crazy insane. The CBD is the more of the relaxing, like you got the angel and devil on your shoulder. The CBD is like the angel, and it just evens it out. I could be totally wrong on this, but someone told me, I went to a trip in Las Vegas, and they explained this to me, and if it's just 100% THC, just stay away from that. And if it's 100% CBD, well, that's good. But if you're going to mix the two, don't just do THC. You got to balance the two.
I heard a carrier beat somewhere. Is there another station out there? This is KD2BNG and KO4JKB. Other station, come on in if there's somebody. Well, you get past a certain age, you know. I can't even really, I don't even want to take a drink anymore. I'll have one bourbon tonight, maybe, and in a few minutes, and that'll be it.
Alcohol, I will do. And if anyone wants to have a drink, I'll do it, but I won't do it lunchtime. And so many friends locally, it's like, you want to go out for a beer? It's like, it's freaking 12 o'clock. It's like, well, you want to meet at 3? It's like, no, I don't drink till after 5. Like, I don't drink during the day, but yeah, I drink, but it's always after 5, and weed, you know, I respect it. If I have to smoke some to just be accepted in a certain thing, I'm going to get through it, but I don't seek it out, because I'm afraid I'm going to have a heart attack, and that it makes me so paranoid. I can't explain it. It makes me, like, think I have brain cancer. It makes me think I got lung cancer or ass cancer. It's like, it just, I guess some people say it's good because it makes you cognizant of yourself, but I can't deal with it. Can't deal with it.
KD2BNG and K04JKB. Who else is out there? D4FC something, I think I hear. I don't have a good copy on them. Did you get a copy on that other station?
So Oscar 4, Charlie Yankee Charlie, Kevin and Seneca. Not the guy that just tried to check in with you guys, but couldn't help hearing him. I'm a little on the younger side, and I just got back from Massachusetts, so naturally all my friends brought me to the dispensary up there. And I think you'd be happy to know that a lot of the strains now are coming super high CBD, kind of lower THC, so they won't give you that paranoia. I think there's a big push with the legal weed going towards that, so you might be happy to try again.
Kilo Oscar 4, Charlie Yankee Charlie, is that what you said? This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo, November Golf. My name's Glenn. How you doing?
All right. I'm pretty good. How are you?
You just got back from Connecticut, you said? You were up north?
Up there. So, finally back in Seneca down here. And just a whole different world with the legal weed up there. I'm making a lot of money off it. It's definitely a weird feeling to walk in and buy it with a credit card.
Connecticut?
Yeah, I live right on the border, so I can almost walk to the dispensary.
medical marijuana card or there's just legal weed. There's medical weed in Massachusetts, maybe, because I know there is in New York.
You buy it, but if you do have a medical card, I think you're allowed to buy more potent stuff. But I just walked in with my South Carolina license and paid with a credit card.
Comment. Before JKV, Duncan again. I was just saying it does do nothing for me, but my wife and I own a clothing business, and we go to Las Vegas every 2 years up until COVID, and they legalized it there, and that is a weird thing, that station that you said, the experience you had in Massachusetts where you can just go in and buy it, it's just a weird thing. But it's a cool thing. But I'm standing by. KO4JKV.
Especially, they would need the tax revenues, you would think. If you had to sell weed legally, if you sold weed legally, what am I, stoned? I can't talk. If you sold weed legally, presumably you'd have to have a tax stamp.
I said, use the tax money to pass the roads and call it Operation Pothole.
That in New York. Upstate New York especially, but the New York City area, yeah, if you had legal marijuana dispensaries, the tax money would fix all the potholes, maybe. I mean, I remember driving out of JFK one time, and I thought the car had hit something. I actually thought I slammed into a wall. Nope, just a pothole. So yeah, if they want to use that for the road money, that'd be a good thing.
Well, they were going to do the lottery for the education, and so the weed for the potholes, I guess that's the next thing. Problem solved.
The North Carolina Education Lottery, they actually call it down here the Education Lottery. Hey, I just lost my house payment paying the Education Lottery. Boy, I bet you learned something.
Kidding aside, but legalize one thing to justify another. It's like it's a ploy, but it's just like if you want to legalize something, do it on its own merit. Don't leverage it because like, oh, you want your kids to live, then let's legalize this. I don't get into that type of politics. It's like, if you think you should legalize it, legalize it. If you don't, let's hear the arguments. Let's have a forum. But, I'm the type of guy, it's free will. And, you're responsible for your own stuff. And, if something's dangerous, warn your people about it. And, if you don't care, you don't care. Just let it all frickin', stiffed out in the strainer. It'll all work itself out.
Legalized or decriminalized, because there is a subtle but important difference. For example, the government of the Netherlands, marijuana, hashish, whatever, still in theory is illegal, but they decriminalized it. The law is still there, we're just selectively enforcing it. Well, practically or not, is there a practical difference? Yeah, Colorado and then Washington and a bunch of other places actually did legalize it. Decriminalize something, I assume you can do by executive fiat. Doesn't have to be a legislative thing. City of New York basically decriminalized small amounts of marijuana. Or it's basically written up as a civil summons, like a $25 fine. I don't know which approach we should take.
Well, I really have no dog in that fight. I think that the most important thing that we should do is for parents, no matter if it's father and mother or just a single parent, have the choice of the education they like their children to be educated into. And that's the most important thing right now for me. And then they'll make their decisions when they're well informed. But as far as criminalizing, penalizing, whatever, I mean, whatever, That's a different thing. I had some good friends thrown in jail for that, and they were good people, and I didn't like that. But I think that they didn't have a good education. So I think education is important. My focus is education.
The point in explaining the difference is decriminalization we can do by executive fiat. As of now, South Carolina is no longer going to enforce the marijuana law, even though it may still be there. But, you know, to repeal the thing requires a legislative effort. And I don't know how well that's going to go around these parts, especially since I suppose this is considered the Bible Belt. Colorado, Washington, a bunch of other states that actually did repeal the laws.
Well, I'm not like an activist on that front. I really don't have a dog in that fight. I just hope that if I am an activist, I think that education should be. I think the parents should have a say in their education, the kids' education. And, you know, if they decide to smoke weed, you know, do crack and bath salts and, I don't know, do whatever, that's great. Fantastic. But I don't want them to be, like, gone to these frickin' education mills where they're just programmed to, I don't know, have a predetermined future for themselves. THC. You gotta put some CD and CBD in there. THC, balance it off of CBD. KO4JKV.
So the pharmacology involved. But CBD doesn't actually. CBD is not the psychoactive agent. It's what you're saying, you have to balance the two out because one is, let's say, one slows the absorption of the other.
Because Mega Millions is at a record high, and that's all that matters.
Time in this country, putting people things that really could be handled other ways.
Yes, that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, the new year, new administration, new Congress, new whatever, new start. Of course, within the next couple of years, it'll be fracked up just as before, but hopefully we'll see some better initiatives, better legislation. Anyway, battery voltage on this thing is starting to drop, and I'm going to go pour myself a bourbon, which, according to the 21st Amendment, I think is legal again. So, you have yourself a good one. This is K82BNG. I'll be clear on your final.
Good. I'm glad you're up on your constitution. This is KO4JKB.
As I said, you missed it it was a short net, but come by tomorrow. And 73, take care. Talk to you later.
JKB standing by.
4JKB, are you still there? KD2BNG.
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'm watching some snow fall down up here in Asheville finally. What's the weather like where you're at?
Same. I heard some rain earlier. Don't hear it now. And yeah, snowfall, as you said, at the higher elevations, I worry more about that. We don't get that much snowfall.
Hoping it snows a effing lot.
Hey. yeah, as I said, if I had a shovel snow at my age, let's see, I may have had one heart attack. I don't really want another. You got some popping noise behind your signal. Maybe that's the snow.
Yeah, that's definitely snow in combination with my Mickey Mouse radio rig. But between those two, I'm still hanging in there.
Got to put up a proper antenna. This is basically just a J-pole leaning against the interior wall. I should at least try to do it and put it outside, get it up higher. Or build a bigger J-pole. Maybe I'll build one for 10 meters, and that should give me 2 meters as well.
Describe the J-pole. Is it, is it spread out between trees or something, or, what's, like, the distance? I'm new to ham radio, and I'll tell you what I'm talking through, but, I'm curious to know what your antenna setup is like.
The pole has two vertical collinear elements, one of which is a quarter wavelength, the other one is, like, three quarters of a wavelength. And the distance between them, I think, is like a wavelength. It kind of looks like a paperclip, the one with the opposite side taken out. And it's a good antenna because it doesn't need a ground plane. And it's slightly directional, but, you know, performs surprisingly well. For, you know, basically a homemade antenna, you can make one right now out of copper tubing. I made this one out of half-inch copper tubing in maybe half an hour or so. I was going to get more copper tubing and make a bigger one. But, you know, and it's not even outside. It's leaning against the house is wood frame, so the signal penetrates the wall, but it's just leaning against the corner of the wall.
Okay, gotcha. Newbie mistakes. I was confusing J-pole with dipole. But dipole is the wires that just stretch out and then a T goes down. J-pole is actually made out of actual copper tubing, like plumbing. And again, it kind of resembles a J. Got it.
There's a variant on that called the C-pole, where you come That one actually looks more like a paperclip because you come over and down to, you have another element that comes down from the top, and the two elements are almost touching it. Yeah, look up online C-pole or J-pole, and there's another one called the Super J-pole. They're easy antennas to build. It gives the formula for how long to make each side. Or I think in one case there's a little JavaScript calculator on the webpage. Type in the frequency and here's all the dimensions. But that works strangely well. I had at one time just an ordinary unbalanced long wire running across the top of the house. Going to the ASU radio that had the built-in tuner in it. I never did put that back up, so I don't even really have an HF antenna right now. There's one called, there's one called the mystery antenna, which is a collinear HF antenna you can run between two trees. But yeah, right now all I got is 2 meters.
Copy that. Yeah, I just have my technician, so I'm exploring what I can explore in the technician's realm of things. So, but I haven't built anything myself yet. What I'm talking to now is classified as a long periodic antenna made by a company called Elk, E-L-K. And it's like a five-element thing. UHF, VHF, it's all one plane. It works pretty good. And but also my other go-to, which has great reception, which is we were talking about J-poles earlier. It's a roll-up J-pole, and it's a Slim Jim model made by this ham somewhere in the United States called N9TAX. But that's a really good antenna too. So yeah, I'm new at this, but I'm blessed at the fact that I got two bitchin' antennas that I can, you know, make the connection. And yeah, with all the snow coming down, and I'm hitting Caesar's Head from Asheville, that's like almost 26 miles. That's pretty cool.
You are. There's another repeater on the top of Mount Mitchell. Don't recall the call sign. And then there's this one. This is on top of Harris Mountain or Caesar's Head Mountain or one of those. Harris Mountain. Yeah, you're in a good area as far as being next to quite a few repeaters. Now let's see, technician. Do you have any, are there privileges on 10, like the bottom of 10 meters? Or there's no HF at all? I'm trying to remember. You might have privileges on some, like the lower band on 10 meters, on sideband or AM, I don't recall.
Haven't memorized it all, but yeah, there are some HF privileges, I believe. I could be mistaken if there's any hams out there that want to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it is CW only.
Try to teach myself, but I pretty much give up.
2 years' resolution was to be a bad MF on CW, and but I haven't even started yet. But I want to because I think that is importante in Spanish.
To that, it's the one signal node that requires like low power and almost nothing for equipment. You know, I'm turning the carrier wave on and off. Which takes up, you know, what do I need for modulation? I need some sort of switch. And I need, you know, and I don't need much power because what's my bandwidth? Yeah, no, it's a useful mode still. It's just that FCC hasn't required it since, I don't know, 2010, 2008 or something. It's not on any of the exams.
I see where you're coming from, but I do think it is useful. Depends on how far you're wanting to reach out. If you're reaching out way beyond your means, which many of us do, and your voice just can't get out there, but maybe CW just could just make it out there. That could be huge. It could be a difference between the inch and the mile.
What you know, bandwidth and effective radiated power are inversely related, as is bandwidth and gain. In other words, the narrower you can make the signal, the more you can decrease the bandwidth, the more effective radiated power you have in the transmitter. And at the receiver, something similar. The narrower the signal, the higher the gain is. So, you know, CW beats sideband. Sideband beats AM. And pretty much most things beat FM. Oh, wait. One thing that's... Or, let's say television is probably the worst as far as bandwidth. So, yeah, that's the reason to use CW. With less signal power, it'll go further under, you know, more difficult circumstances.
Well, you just talked me right out of it. I'm not going to learn that no more.
Useful. Some of the digital modes, which when you think about it, CW basically is a digital mode. There's some digital modes on VHF, UHF, and also on HF, which again, because, you know, you've got a lot of effective power because they don't use much bandwidth. There's PSK, and there's a new one called F8, and there's a whole bunch of others. On VHF, there's APRS, or what is it, I forget. But, you know, those are useful, too.
But I have a question, since you are into HF. I haven't got my general yet, but I'm into HF. So when you get an HF radio, out of all of those frequencies, what are the most popular, or what are your go-to frequencies to make contact on?
Had a credible HF capability. I gotta put an antenna back one day, you know, but in the daytime I would say 20 meters, at nighttime 40 meters, 75 meters, those are the big ones, 75 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, maybe 15 meters. Let's see, 20 meters I would say is a daytime band. 40 is more of a nighttime band. Although one time I did talk to somebody during the day on 40 meters, who I think was in Bulgaria. You know, HF is funny. Sometimes you'll be able to work a station 1,000 miles away, but somebody closer you can barely hear it all. So, my go-to band for HF? I'd have to answer that, you know, whatever works at the time.
Understandable, and that makes sense, and it sounds exciting, so I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to have to go to the, I don't know if we can get to the landfill here, but I'm going to go over there to meet with some friends.
Noise. Your antenna moves around, covers the nose, or the
KO4 JKB.
I'll have it for my first.